What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
G'day guys, welcome back to the Pelican Scoop, a hoop-ball.com presentation. I am your host, Lyle Swithenbank, at Lyle Swithenbank on Twitter, as always. At Hoopball Pels is the show. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, that'd be fantastic, if you don't mind. Also, while I've got you, you jump over onto your podcast app, give us a review, give us a rating, that would be fantastic. All of your support is much appreciated, and thank you all for tuning in once again. A little bit delayed after the last two games that we had. Again, busy week. Makes it difficult when you're watching the Pels after an evening of organized sport. I stayed up till 2 a.m. last night finishing off the Miami Heat game. We'll get to that a little bit after a brief discussion, I guess, of the Chicago Bulls game. Unfortunately, the last episode we were celebrating. We'd beaten the top team in the West, in the league even, the Utah Jazz. We were basically going to ride off into the sunset, give us the Larry O'Brien trophy now, because we were the greatest team of all time. The wind was quickly taken out of our sails, unfortunately. We took on the Chicago Bulls at home and fell 124-128 on Wednesday night. Unfortunately, we really just didn't fire a shot for most of the game. You know, we let them came out and really, I suppose, dictate us on the boards, on the, from the three-point line. And, you know, it was difficult. Again, we got beaten by Zach LaVine, who finished with 36 points. Kobe White, his little Robin to Zach LaVine's Batman, dropped 25. Wendell Carter Jr. was good after coming back from his quad injury a little while ago. I don't think we played him last time. He had 7 and 15 boards, and that is so very unlike the Pelicans, getting matched on the rebounding, and it was just a bit lackluster, I guess. We sort of mucked around with it towards the end of the game, and yeah, honestly just wasn't very good at all. We head over to the summary, quarter by quarter, Chicago and the Pelicans. We had 26 and 25, so we were down by a point at quarter time. We then proceeded to score 20 points in the second quarter, and Chicago got going. They scored 38 points and forged a 19-point lead at halftime. Just really disappointing sort of first half, when we'd been really working on that defense and, I guess, protecting the paint as well as chasing these guys off the three-point line. And no, we just got hammered. We got absolutely hammered. We come into the third quarter, matched them. We had 34, they had 32. Go in at the last quarter, and you know, we went hard. With 3.4 seconds left, we were down by two. And that was as close as we got, unfortunately. It Coby White hit a couple of free throws, and that knocked him on the head, basically, which was disappointing because you make a good run at the end, and, I mean, credit to the bench in the last quarter because they were the difference maker. The starters just looked lackluster. They looked like they had low energy, and it was just, for the first night of a back-to-back, you want guys to come out and play a little bit harder than that, knowing that, you know, you're probably going to get a bigger rest in the following night, and you're probably going to play reduced minutes because Stan was conscious that you were going to have a back-to-back. The difficulty in this was we just didn't have the energy. It was like we didn't want to play. It was like we saw, I suppose it's like anything, you know, when you're at work and you've got your leave coming up and you're like, oh, you know, I'll just sort of drag myself through the last couple of days to this, to my weekend or to the to my coming leave. And I think that's how they viewed the All-Star game. Let's just get there. Let's get to this break. We'll have a week off. And you know, if we win a couple, these last two games, we're happy days. If we don't, well, you know, we'll try again after our holiday, refreshed and recuperated. Unfortunately, it doesn't work like that, and you just lose games against teams you probably should beat. So overall, we charged back 45 points in the last quarter, thanks to the bench. And really, you know, we just weren't very good. 6 of 22 from 3, they shot 12 of 28, so they weren't even that good. They were just better than us, 27% for us. 46 of 83 overall, 55%, which was better than them. But 68% from the free throw line. Unfortunately, guys like Zion, I think B.I. Bledsoe left free throws late in the game, which was just heartbreaking when you're watching this ball rim out. You know, free throws win games. If you hit your free throws, all right, so there was, we missed 8 of them? No, 12. 12 free throws, 26 of 38 we were. And that's 12 points that is the difference. You know, they missed 2. So even if they hit all of them and we hit all of them, you know, it's a completely different game. But unfortunately, it was not to be. We fell to them, as I said, 124 to 128. They beat us on the offensive glass. They wanted it more. They beat us on the total rebounds, 45 to 35. And overall, it was just pretty average. We had only 11 turnovers too, which is disappointing because when you get a low turnover game and then still lose, it's so frustrating because that's our biggest knock. Instead, we've just forgotten how to defend, which is the worst. Yeah, not really impressive at all, and disappointing for the guys. We head over to the Pelicans box score. We had a big game from Mr. Williamson. He had 37 minutes, 28, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 10 of 17. He only had 50% from the free throw line, though, 8 of 16, including a couple late, which was disappointing. He did everything else except hit all of his free throws, which I know it's tough and you can't win them all, but yeah, that was disappointing. 24 minutes for Brandon Ingram. He had 21 points on an inefficient, I suppose it was not too bad in the end, 8 of 17, but he really didn't look on. He looked like he was struggling for most of the game, and late in the game, he wasn't even in, you know, with the 22 or so minutes that he played. It really wasn't, or 24, pardon me, really wasn't his night. Lonzo Ball was quiet with 12. Stephen Adams didn't score. Redick off the bench had probably his best game of the year. He had a couple of four-point plays, you know, 22 points off the bench, and it was a revitalized JJ Redick, which you love to see. He was massive. He honestly was massive down the stretch. Josh Hart as well, 13-5, 2 assists, 2 steals. What more can the man do? He was fantastic. Yeah, we kept the rotation pretty short. We saw 11 minutes of Jackson Hayes, and honestly, that last quarter, and probably towards the end of the third quarter as well, he was maybe the difference in sparking this run. You know, he had a couple of big blocks. He was dunking the ball out of everywhere. And he looked energized. He looked like he wanted to play. Obviously, sitting watching for so many games gives you a bit of a spark, puts a flame up your behind. And all of a sudden, you play like you want to be there. And you don't expect your minutes. You have to earn them. And he really did earn them. I was impressed with that game. He was good. He was very good. 3 blocks in 10 minutes. 5 of 5 from the field, which is what you want from the big man. He was very athletic and exactly what you wanted. You know, a bit of weak side help on the defensive end, and then getting up and bouncing after the ball to get his shots, get the ball in. And we nearly got there. We nearly got there. So, unfortunately, not to be. A couple of takeaways from this one. Firstly, Zion Williamson, of course, is really good, but those free throws are his Achilles heel. You know, people whinge about his defense and stuff like that. I think he's not that bad defensively. He's only going to get better. I mean, he's still only 55 games into his all-star career. And, you know, he's just going to improve that end. But those free throws, your biggest knock is that if you're getting to the line so much and you can't make them, well, then they're just going to start fouling you. So hopefully he can get his rhythm back and hit a few more of those going forward. Number two, it was great to see JJ Redick hit his shot and the range start to fall. He really started the game, I suppose, shooting not from three, but rather those long twos and just getting his eye in. And once you see the ball go in a couple of times, all of a sudden you start taking shots that are much better. He plays in a two-man game with Zion Williamson, and it's really good when he gets open space. It's much easier when he doesn't have to create, and he can just be past the ball at the top of the three-point line, and he splashes them every time. You know, 3 three-pointers on the night. He shot, 1 3-pointer on the night, but was fouled a couple of times on those attempts. And, 9 of 15 shooting.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Which you happy about? So, that was that game. So it was the first night of the back-to-back, the homestand before that ends and we head off. We're now 15 and 20 after the game against the Heat. They're 16 and 18, the Chicago Bulls. We then rolled straight into another game, which was against the Miami Heat. Now, before I go into that, of course, I would love to thank the sponsors, mybookie.ag. Make sure you go and use them if you want to do your betting. Hoopball is the code on sign up. Give you 50% deposit bonus. You know, we love all that sort of stuff. If we love a bit of a flutter, well, go and do it with them. You can go and get your e-checks or use Bitcoin or any of that carry-on. That fandangled nonsense that the kids use these days. You can use all of that as well as a credit card or whatever you want to do to deposit your cash. Which we love, a bit of sports betting. But of course, gamble responsibly. Don't go and chase your losses or anything crazy like that. Do it for a bit of fun. Don't do it as a job. Now, the other sponsor, of course, is manscaped.com. If you need to have a shave, whatever part of your body you need to give a trim to, go and see manscaped.com. You know, sort yourself out with a little lawnmower 3.0. Fantastic razor that is, and I don't know what else they got over there. Heaps of stuff, you know, whatever you need for your male and female grooming needs. I suppose you could use it. Moisturizers, creams, you know, jocks, I think they've got over there. They've got the little nose hair trimmer, whatever you want. Go and use the code HOOPBALL20, and that'll give you 20% off and free shipping. HOOPBALL20 on the end of that. And yeah, we love that sort of stuff. Of course, head over to hoop-ball.com as well, and you can go and see all the content over there. We've actually started up, I think it's a premium show, Maybe not. It is the Hoopball TV, and every day before the lineups lock, we're doing a live show on YouTube with, I don't know, all the different fantasy experts, and they're going to go on there, tell you who to pick up, preview all of the games, and it's really helpful before your fantasy lineup locks. So go and have a look at that. I'm yet to be invited on there, so I might have to bail them up because, you know, everyone wants my opinion. yeah, we'll sort that out and go and check them out because they are fantastic and we love what we're doing over there. So go and check it all out and you get all your hoops fix, of course, at hoop-ball.com. It's where we're based. So the second night of the back-to-back was against the Miami Heat. We're still at home. The guys get to sleep in their own bed. You know, they get to go through all the regular sort of protocols of being at home, and we honestly were not in this game from the outset. Whether that was mentally or on the scoreboard, we just looked crap. And, you know, like I said, I don't like to use obscenities or anything, but it was pretty average. The lack of effort in this game was apparent from the get-go. The guys looked tired. They looked like it was the night before going on holidays, like I talked about earlier, and it was even more apparent in this game. We fell, spoiler alert, 103-93. The score looks nicer than we deserved, thanks to the bench brigade again. Honestly, we did not deserve to hang with these guys. If we go to the scoreboard, first quarter, 31-15. We scored 15 points the first quarter. The starters looked absolutely terrible. And the Heat just went through the motions. They were all right. And Jimmy Butler was there, of course, and he was going at us. Now, I'm going to do a little asterisk on this game because we had no Zion Williamson, no JJ Redick, so that obviously mixed it up. Josh Hart started the game. And so let's exclude him from the starters that didn't look like they really cared to be there. And of course, you're going to miss Zion, and then you hope that the rest of the team's going to step up. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. So instead, we scored 15 points in the first quarter, which was just not good enough. We come out in the second quarter, I think we realized that we'd just been punched in the mouth, scored 30 to their 24, but you're already on catch-up. You're already trying to hang around. Head into halftime, and you know we're still holding on. We scored 25, they scored 22. And rather low scoring for us because we usually score up in the 110 to 20 to almost 130 per game. And held to 93, which is just really not good enough if you want to win a basketball game in the NBA. And the fourth quarter, they outscored us 26-23. We pulled it all the way back to 4 points to start the fourth. But they just, they kept coming. And, you know, you started the fourth quarter with the bench brigade on because they dragged us right back in. They were coming with the energy again. And then we took them all out and decided to put the starters back on who looked like they couldn't really give a shit to be there. So disappointing, but weird sort of night. Jimmy Butler torched us. He was great with 29 points, 3 rebounds, 9 assists, 3 steals, 10 of 14 shooting. You couldn't stop him. All night he was a class above. Honestly, we put him in the worst positions possible and he was just rising up and hitting them wherever he wanted. So some nights you just smile and appreciate the greatness that you get to witness. So in 34 minutes, he was very good. Kelly Olynyk had 18, 10, and 7 assists and a steal. He was 7 of 8 from the field, 4 of 5 from 3. He lit us up in the first quarter and continued to do so throughout the night. Now, he is not a guy that you typically hear is going to light you up, but he did because we're really good at giving everyone else an opportunity. And, you know, like Mason Plumlee a few weeks ago got a triple-double against us. We love helping these guys out and have really career nights. So to let Kelly Olynyk, get close to a triple-double, well, you know, you should have got there. We gave you the opportunity. We weren't defending you. Duncan Robinson averaged 5-5. Kendrick Nunn with 13. Dragic, 13 off the bench. Iguodala, 10. Precious Achiuwa had 8-5. He's a great player as well. He's going to be a really good player around this league. They had no Bam Adebayo either, which makes it even more disappointing that we couldn't come against him. But, you know, you live and you learn. We get that. So if we head over to our box score, Josh Hart played 41 minutes. He was there in place of the injured Zion, as I said. He had 12, 8, and 3. 3 of 10 from the field, which is a bit disappointing. 1 of 7 from 3. Brandon Ingram was 2 of 5 from 3. Lonzo Ball was 2 of 11 from 3. And Bledsoe was 2 of 5. Nikhil was 3 of 7. Melly, 0 of 4. Kyra, 1 of 4. And they were our three-point attempts. And as you can tell, we were pretty average at them again. No one scored above 17 points. Brandon Ingram was our highest scorer. He had 17, 5, and 9, 6 of 12 shooting, and he was pretty average. Lonzo Ball was bad. He had 10 and 4. Bledsoe, he played, 25 minutes and looked like he cared for about 5 of them. Yeah, was disappointing with 9 points. Steven Adams was good with 15 and 5. Akeel off the bench, I really like to see. He had 13. And Kyra Lewis Jr. was a little spark in 17 minutes. He had 11 points and just did a bit of everything. 1 rebound, 1 assist, and a steal. 5 of 9 shooting and hit that 3-pointer, as I said. Fantastic to see. I loved seeing when Kyra came in because he really jump-started the team. He was attacking. He was going after it. He was getting steals. You know, he looked calm and confident. He was making good passes. The problem was no one else could make the shot, so he didn't get the assist. Now, when you've got a guy like that who actually wants to play and looks like he actually wants to have a crack and you've spent a high draft pick on him and then you don't play him and you play guys that look like they don't really give a damn whether or not they're going to play, well, what are you meant to do? Like, you start playing the guys that earn their minutes, and that's two nights in a row that the young guys of all the bench has had a crack, and let them take their minutes. You know, Jackson Hayes was up to 20 minutes tonight. He had 6 and 8. When he came on, you know, he wasn't as good as the night before, which was disappointing. But he was still there. He was still active. Did a few defensive things, but his concentration needs to get better. Melly had 0 on the night, but he had 7 rebounds and 4 assists. And he was moving, you know. And he was stretching the floor. Even though he didn't hit anything, he had that ability to draw the defender out and open it up a bit, but unfortunately there wasn't Zion or anyone that wanted to drive, so it made it a little bit more difficult. But that threat there was good. And then we got to about, I don't know, 4 points down in the after dragging it all the way back, and then we put the starters back on and lost the game. And it was obvious. As soon as the guys come out, they're like, you know, we'll have a crack, but we'll see what happens. And unfortunately, it just didn't come together. And yeah, it was not really good. If we run over to the summary, we shot 39% for the whole game, 25% from 3, 11 of 43. For some reason, everyone decided a step back 3 was the best shot that you could take. You know, Lonzo's been shooting the lights out with this catch and shoot, and instead he wanted the 4 dribble, in and out, step back 3, which just didn't work at all. And it hasn't all year, and he still decided that that was what he wanted to do. You know, they scored 10 of 30 from 3, 49% from the field for the whole game. Rebounds, even. Assists, even. Offensive rebounds, we had 15 to their 5. Defensive rebounds, they had 36 to 29. So we had all these second chances, and we still lost. Turnovers, we had 12, they had 10. So again, we're taking care of the ball, it's not too bad. Points off turnovers, this has always been the highlighted thing that we talk about every game. Every game we talk about this. They score 23, we score 15. They had 10 turnovers, we had 12. Where does that extra 8 points come from? It's because we don't get back and defend. It's because these live ball turnovers are so costly. We do these stupid cross-court passes or try to be a bit too cute with it and do these flashy sort of stuff instead of just going through the motions and doing what works. And unfortunately, it was disappointing. It really was. And we're better than that. We are. Well, the free throw shooting was better, but obviously Zion didn't play, so that's probably where that bounced back. Yeah, not really good. Little side note on this as well. I watched the TNT broadcast that was on our ESPN, and it was so bizarre that the actual commentary was just average. The sound quality, the guys kept dropping out, and then Grant Hill was just gone for the game, and we got Kenny the Jet doing the rest of the commentary, and you couldn't hear him for half the thing. It was just absolutely bizarre. And I suppose that's the world we're in now with this Zoom and doing everything remotely. But gosh, got to get the broadcast sorted. That's got to be something they've got to look at, because it just took away from the game. You know, I mean, we weren't good anyway, but made it worse when you had one guy talking to no one. But anyway, that was a side note. That was my own pet peeve. I was already annoyed at it, let alone staying up late to watch it, and then us just to not really care that I was going to sit up to the wee hours of the morning to watch you just run through the motions, and barely that. Now, a little bit disappointing. Of course, there were some comments made by David Griffin and by Stan Van Gundy. Stan, after the Chicago game, said, well, I'm just going to leave the bench in because they were the hot guys. Then he proceeded in this game to take them all out with 5 minutes to go and completely contradict himself. David Griffin as well was reported on the radio saying that, you know, these young guys, we're not just going to give them minutes. They have to go and earn them. And I was listening to Jake Madison's podcast, Locked On Pelicans, earlier today, and he talked about it's the same tactic as telling your kids that, well, you don't feed your kids so that they're hungrier for it, so they go and earn it. You don't just give them food because they have to have it. They have to earn it, which I don't know. I completely agree with him. I don't think it is the right mentality. I think it's about time we start moving these young guys, particularly the ones that are having a crack. You know, Kyra, Nikhil, these guys are not going to get any better unless we play them. We're currently, third last. We're not even in the play-in at the moment, and we've got to make a business decision. The trade deadline is looming. We've got this All-Star week, and I think we've got another week and then trade deadline. Is a guy like Eric Bledsoe or JJ Redick going to get moved? I don't know. Perhaps. But I don't know. I don't know at all what is going to happen, but we've got to work out what the plan is, whether we're going to try to move for a good draft pick again this year, and that might mean playing the young guys a little bit more, seeing everyone's only, 23 and below of the core guys that we want to keep, and or we're swinging for the fences and we're trying to move them for another big piece, you know, using these draft picks, going after a guy like Bradley Beal or someone like that. Heard Karl Anthony Towns might be available. He'd be pretty handy, but I don't think we're in the running for him. Nick Vucevic is another one that I saw floated as a potential guy that could be available. Well, are we going to use draft picks for this, or are we going to do a Boston and just sort of look at them and say, no, we're just going to keep drafting young guys that are just going to fill the bench and never get a run out, even though they're high lottery picks? Who knows? I think David Griffin's a bit better at managing those. But anyway, we'll see what happens. So, all in all, pretty average game. Key takeaway number one, play the young guys. I think we are all on the same page with that. It is time to let them off the chain. Kyra is a freak. Let him play. Let Nikhil play. Let him get comfortable. Let him know the minutes are coming. You don't improve by sitting around doing nothing, and then when you do earn your chance, you just don't get rewarded. You get guys that they either dig in for a little bit longer, or then they become disenfranchised and all of a sudden want to get out of there. We don't want that. Play them. Get the old boys out of there. Anyway, number two, Zion Williamson is critical to this team. We scored 93 when he didn't play. It's because we didn't get another 30 from him. It's disappointing that you got this second All-Star, although he wasn't this year. You know, Brandon Ingram was in the running again, and he didn't take the chance, really. You know, he was doubled and triple teamed, and no one else stepped up. You know, it was difficult for him, and I feel for him, but you want to lead this team. Well, if the other guy's out, you've still got to step up and lead. And my third takeaway is a bit of transparency would be fantastic from either the coaching staff or the front office about what the direction of the team is. I think it'll become more clear at the trade deadline. I get you keep your cards close to your chest, but we just don't really know what's going on. We're sort of half in the camp of wanting to win, half in the camp of wanting to rebuild, and it's frustrating because the team isn't consistent enough to say that we're going to make playoffs this year. I just don't think it's going to happen. We'll be really struggling to get into the play-in competition the way we've been playing. The consistency is what's killing us. We can play the best basketball and beat any team at anywhere in America, and then dish up some absolute garbage the next night. And it's disappointing. It really is. So that consistency, that's what you need to do to learn how to win all the time and not just when you feel like it. You need to learn how to win ugly. You know, you fall down, you keep going, you don't drop off. So who knows, but we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. It'll be all right. Now, before I wrap up, we are heading into the All-Star Weekend. That is on Sunday night, American time. It'll be Monday morning for me. We'll get to see Zion Williamson take it to the stage in the All-Star game, which will be fantastic. He's ruled out the dunk contest. He's not going to do that unless he gets called out by LeBron, but who knows? That was as per the Old Man and the Three podcast, JJ Redick's interview with Zion. Go and check that out as well. It's fantastic. You got a real insight into him. Looking forward to a little bit of a week off. I've got an interview that I did a little while ago with a pretty good bloke. You know, he's Jermaine Beal, who used to play for the Perth Wildcats. We're going to put his interview up. Did a little while ago. I've been meaning to sneak it in, but of course, I thought, well, why not do it with the week where there's no basketball? So look forward to that podcast coming up. Anyway, as always, I'm going to put a pin in it. I'm Lyle Swithenbank. This is the Pelican Scoop at Hoopball Pels at Lyle Swithenbank on Twitter. Look after yourselves. Stay safe. And I'll speak to you very, very soon. Bye for now.
This has been a Hoopball presentation.